Welcome. You're tuned in to The Rest of the Sermon, a podcast where we dive deeper into content, conversation, and application of Sunday's sermon at Westside Church in Poplar Bluff.
If you want more information, you can visit our website at westsidepb.org. If you have any questions you'd like answered on this podcast, you can email them to info@westsidepb.
Most importantly, it's all about Jesus.
Hannah's dad, who was an alcoholic, listened and has... I mean, she thinks it's going to do something for him. He's been an alcoholic all of her life since she was born.
Yeah.
It's been a blessing for them.
They just smiled after the first service. You just couldn't get the smile off their face.
Yeah. So I said, are you ready for the 11? And then after the 11, I was like, how does it feel to do it twice? She's like, yeah. It was so funny.
I know it is.
I loved it. It was so great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'll kick us off. Hey guys, welcome to the rest of the sermon. I know that you've listened to a little bit of the banter. I'm really excited for what we have in store today. We had an absolutely incredible Sunday this past Sunday. It was good to be back from vacation.
Yeah.
And another shout out to Pastor Alex walking us through Psalm 23. The shepherd and green pastures and all the above. I also want to point out, people, if you're not signed up for our newsletter, you need to do that because we sort of swap in writing blogs and stuff like that and resources. But you had some really good stuff in the last newsletter that went out along with a Bible reading plan.
Yeah, 60 days, you could read the entire Psalms. It was kind of just like a, how do you break it up? How do you read it?
Yep.
What's its purpose? Why should you even do that?
Yep, 100%. Yep. So I think if you're...
It was Crossway who did that.
Yeah, it's great. So if you're wanting to dive in more, the Psalms are historically just the hymn book and the lifeblood of the church. And it's funny, seasoned saints that I know, I'm talking like they're 70 or 80 years old, they've been walking with Jesus for 60 years, anytime I'm like, where are you at in the Bible? They're always like, I just always find myself in the Psalms.
Yeah.
I'm just always spending time with the Lord there. And I'm like, ooh, there's something there.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
It's the intimacy of it.
Well, I'm ready to dive in today. We have a very special guest with us in the studio. We have Miss Missy Pogue today, ladies and gentlemen. And so, Missy, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so excited that we've got sound effects and everything. I love it.
That's great.
Missy, you are the assistant director at Recycling Grace.
Well, I'm the director, but I'm CEO and then me, yes.
Perfect. There you go. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this past Sunday, Missy and three young ladies came and talked about what Recycling Grace Ministries is. The testimonies were like powerful is an extreme understatement. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. And the big takeaway for me was the work that you guys are doing is not just rehabilitation or whatever you want to call it, like sobriety. Hey, stop doing that. Because one of them is now employed by Recycling Grace. And you're raising up leaders, disciples who make disciples, That's disciple makers. And so that was just incredible. And our congregation responded in a huge way. That's on our live stream. So if you miss Sunday, you can listen to the podcast. You can check out the live stream on all of that. And then I had the privilege of just kind of interviewing you a little bit, Missy. And you just kind of dropped some really good bombs on us on Sunday, for sure. But one of the things I was intrigued in is you would give us little vignettes into your life. And so I want people to know Missy. And so where did you grow up? What was growing up like? And how did you come to the Lord?
Okay, so I was born into an Assembly of God pastor's home.
Yeah.
And he was a pastor all of my life, you know. And he was a great man. He just passed away last October.
Yeah.
But the heritage he left, no money, all spiritual.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I carry a card with me in my wallet. Every time I open my wallet, I see it that says... it was from him. He wrote on this little card and gave it to me, and I kept it in my wallet for years, and it says, stay with the Lord. He will never fail you. And that's just the kind of dad that I had. So, I mean, I was raised to be a disciple, you know.
Yep.
And so grew up in Ironton, actually, not very far away.
Oh, wow.
Liberty
cool.
Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was 17, I got married. I was very young.
Yeah.
but it was so that I could go to nursing school and become a missionary.
Yeah.
So I became commissioned as a missionary at age 19.
Wow.
And we went to Chad in North Central Africa for 6 years.
And you said something Sunday, you were the youngest at that time in the assemblies to be commissioned as a missionary.
Right. That's right.
Tell me, Missy, why was it missions and why overseas? When did you really start feeling that call, that specific call?
Well, and I think that's what drew my husband and I together from the time a young age, probably 12 or so. I thought I needed to be in ministry. And at the time I felt it was foreign missions, and which certainly served a purpose in that ministry and then in our lives also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for everybody listening, hearing your timeline, 12 years old, you were young. We say constantly at Westside, our kids' side is not the future leaders of the church. They have the capabilities to be current leaders in the church now, in their sphere and everything. Mm-hmm. So how long were you over there in Africa?
So we left the United States in 98. We actually spent a year in France first because we had to learn French. Chad is a French colony.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so we spent a year in Albertville, France, and then we moved to Chad, and I was there until 2003.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you still speak French?
Okay, un peu.
Bilingual.
It's been 20 years since I spoke. We were fluent at one time, I can read it. And to speak it, they would have to speak lentement. It would have to be slow.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what were your day-to-day? What was your day-to-day like when you were over there serving?
And there, my husband he's got like his doctorate of ministry. And he was a Bible school teacher.
Yeah.
So it's all our ministry has always been discipleship and kind of pouring into others.
Yes.
And I was, I led some women's groups over there with other missionaries, other missionary wives. And I was kind of a stay at home mom. Our youngest child was just a very small.
Were they born over there?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Born here.
Wow. Right there. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so what was some of the fruit that you guys saw from that season in your ministry?
Yeah. So we had actually, my husband took a missions trip with some young people out of one of the churches, and they planted churches in some of the villages, which was awesome. Actually, the chiefs of those villages would come and donate land for churches.
Whoa.
So he did that. He did lots of teaching where then we would raise up pastors to put in these churches.
Yeah.
So the goal, especially with the Assemblies of God, is always an indigenous church.
Yes.
They're one that can stand on its own 2 feet after the missionary is gone. Because like Chad now is war-torn. There's no missionaries there, not Assembly of God anyway. Wow. I don't know. And so the church is having to stand on its own 2 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the, one of the patterns we see in the book of Acts is the gospel is preached and then there's a level of hostility or resistance, you know, to that gospel. What was some of the resistance that you guys encountered when it came to planting churches, raising up pastors and kind of proclaiming the gospel?
Right. In the northern part of Chad's like almost split in two, or it was at that time. High Muslim population in the northern part. It was just south of the Sahara Desert.
Sure.
In the southern part, you have more of your, what you would consider more tribalistic or animalistic religions there. And they are pretty warm toward the gospel. But in north of there, it was pretty chilly.
Yeah.
So you had to watch and be a little careful.
Well, I have a friend who's a missionary, and he said one of the things, and he still is, one of the things that's so difficult is when the gospel is proclaimed, people respond to it, and it's like the Creator and wow and Jesus. But one of the things they have to watch is they tend to take that gospel and mingle it,
add it to
with, voodoo in some place. And it becomes this, yes, Jesus is King, but we're also sacrificing some things over here. And did you guys encounter any of that?
To some degree, you have some that'll leave. They come to church and they know they shouldn't wear their amulets in the church. So they take them off and hang them on the door and go into church and then come out of the church and pick them back up. And so that is a matter of discipleship, like we've been talking, because they have to be taught that they have to grow enough spiritually to understand that Jesus is all I need. And this is changing a worldview from thinking this way, which is what they've done their entire lives. So it's hard to lay it down.
Did you guys experience when a family member would come to know Christ, were they sort of ostracized from the family?
Not in the southern part of Chad. Not generally.
Yeah.
With a more Muslim background.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, hanging that up when you walk into church, and then when you walk out, you pick it up. That speaks to us here in the West, because we should have a little shelf called idols. And like, we just, you know, put it there, go in, worship Jesus, walk out, and then pick it right back up.
Right.
Wow. What was, what did the Lord teach you in that season? I mean, you are in a foreign land. You are dependent. You're a mom. You're a wife. You're a missionary. All of the above. Mm-hmm. What was the big growth in your walk with Jesus in that season?
Well, we were without the common comforts of home. Mm. You know, I remember the first time I walked into a Walmart when I got back, it was like, I just stood there for a second. It had been a few years since and I was like, this is like not heaven, but pretty close.
Walmart, and, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And and then every time I walk into a room, I put the light switch on and the light comes on. I mean, because you have power maybe 10% of the time.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
And so those changes. But as far as like our family had to really, God built our family together, because you sink or swim in a missionary family.
Right.
You know, there's nobody else, no support and things like that. But also to rely on God, putting one foot in front of the other. In Africa, especially, I think, you know, kind of, there's a lot of stresses, and we say, well, what's the matter with you? Well, maybe nothing in particular, just everything in general.
Right. You life, know? Life.
Yeah, yeah. Life. Yeah. And it's tough. And so you have to rely on God for a lot of answers.
Sure.
So you learn to become more dependent, I think.
Yeah. Missy, I want to circle back. There's a lot of people in our church and a lot of people listening, raising their kids in church, discipling their kids. A great fear that I hear a lot, which is very popular now, is, I was raised in church, now I'm deconstructing everything. Some come back, some don't. Mm-hmm. What was it for you, do you think, your family? It sounds like, and your mom was with us Sunday, mm-hmm. right? That was so great. Yeah. Your mom and your dad were just great people. But now you being an adult and looking back, what do you think was one of those things? Because I grew up a preacher's kid, mm-hmm. so like I know how the sausage is made. Right. I remember that, you know, if there was a bad board meeting, we moved type of stuff. Oh, yeah. And so how was it that you grew up not hurt by the church in such a way that you were disillusioned, but rather it sounds like you loved it, you pressed in, and you were still going to give your life to this service. I think that would be encouraging for parents to hear.
Well, it's different because I've heard it both ways, and yeah. I've got pastor friends whose children are now, they're my age, but they're not serving God. And they say a lot of it's because of hurts they received in the church.
Sure.
But my parents, they didn't really hide that. Parents shouldn't even try really to hide that stuff from their kids, because right. they're going to see it. Not that you condemn people that do things, but you talk through it.
Yep.
And because now we've been associate pastors here in the United States
sure.
for like years, and we've yep. raised children in the church. So what we did, and I think what my parents did as well, is acknowledge when there's something,
yeah,
and point back to Scripture and say, what does Scripture say about it? You know, and that way their thinking is more in line with Scripture. It's okay for people to be wrong. People yep. are going to be wrong sometimes, but yep. that doesn't affect me because I don't follow them. I follow Christ.
Yes.
And so for my kids, that's what it's been, basically. Just acknowledge this happened, and it stinks, you know?
Yeah, I think acknowledging it's huge, mm-hmm. because I think for us as parents, we use the excuse is we want to hide it from the kids, but the reality is we have to be honest with ourselves
yeah.
and our own emotions that we're going through as well. And then I love, this is happening, this is going on, but the Bible governs us.
Right.
How did Jesus respond? So honesty and just keep going back to the Scriptures. I think that's beautiful. What drew you guys to leave Africa, and what was that season of transition like?
Well, it was actually not a spiritual reason.
Sure.
It was my, it was actually my oldest daughter got deathly ill there. Oh. I don't know. She was perfectly healthy. And then she got with Giardia and malaria and Salmonella and Shigella all at the same time.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
It was recommended that we bring her here to, you know, because she was like 5 and 30 pounds.
Oh,
and
my was goodness.
Horrible. So during that time, though, my father-in-law got severe cancer and terminal. And my husband's an only child, so we decided to transition back here for a while.
Sure.
Which, you know, that's a whole cascade. But, you know, then we kind of struggled with that because it was my husband's ministry there.
Sure, sure.
But we recognize that, you know, God has a whole purpose. He doesn't do things that happen. He wasn't the cause of my father-in-law's cancer.
Amen.
But he causes all things to work together in a pattern for good.
Yeah.
For those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. You say it quote unquote, wasn't spiritual reasons. But one of the things I've learned in discipleship is everything's spiritual, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. our circumstances, everything, God orchestrates all of that. So where did you guys, was it back in Ironton? Where did you land back?
Yeah, well, actually, my husband became the associate pastor for my dad.
Wow.
Senior pastor, Ironton, yeah. Assembly of Arcadia Valley Assembly of God. So that's where we were until my dad retired in 2017.
And how many years of ministry did your dad have when he retired?
Over 30 there. Yeah. And then, yeah, he was a minister for over 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Man, I love it, man. Yeah. That's like veteran in the game, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
I love it. So what, I think this would be helpful. We, you know, the Apostle Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Uh-huh. Discipleship happens. One of my favorite definitions of discipleship is people helping people love and follow Jesus. It just kind of is what it is. There's been a ton of resources through people's lives that have helped them. You've been walking with Jesus a long time. Has there been a book or a resource, you know, apart from prayer and Bible that have really spurred and just kept your relationship going, that if anybody spends time with you, you're like, hey, this is a really important, you need to dive into this.
Yeah. So first of all, I should probably explain my, I've always been what you call devout, I guess.
yeah.
But I'm going to say that I wasn't always where I am now, and I'm still, there's so much further I need to go in the Holy Spirit. But my son was born extremely ill in 2007.
Wow.
Big old 9-pound kid. He was fine, but he had pneumonia in both lungs for some reason.
Whoa.
And it caused him to have another condition that almost killed him. And so we were at the NICU in St. Louis for 5 weeks. And God had to teach me through that time to literally just walk according. In fact, I mean, he just took me to scripture. I only had a 1-year Bible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't exactly look stuff up easily.
Sure, it's chronological, right?
Yeah. And so I had to just trust that God was going to help me to see, because I would go through and look. And he led me to scriptures like Psalm 37, 23, and 24. Which is, the Lord knows the path of the righteous man, and though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him in his hand. And I was stumbling at the time, like I was broken. And so God led me to scripture at Mark chapter 1, where Jesus heals the leper.
Yeah.
And I was reading that, and I mean, we were just, I was hanging on to threads, you know, because what you see with your eyes and what you know in your head can be two different things.
Absolutely.
And the leper said, you know, if you want to, you could make me clean. And it's actually a miraculous thing. I'm not one of those that says, well, God spoke to me, you know.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, instead of reading it on the page, it's like I heard it in my heart.
Yeah.
Where Jesus was like, he was moved with compassion. Mm. And he said, of course I'm willing. I don't think it says, of course I'm willing. Wow. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Yeah. But it was just times like that led me to believe, listen, this is serious. And I'm gonna either live this, like totally live it all the time, or I'm not. This is a decision I'm making now. Wow. And so I made that decision then. And then God would bring books into my life, my favorite. She's my dearest friend I've never met.
Yeah.
Is Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Those stories. I don't know why God has led me to those, you know, like both World War II, Holocaust time frame. But through reading Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place, and about Betsy.
Yes.
God has taught me many things, and that is that no matter what you're walking through, that you keep plugging ahead. The Holy Spirit gives us, like the train ticket. I don't know if you remember the train ticket analogy.
Yes.
You know, she needed strength, and God gives you strength when you need it.
Yep.
You know, so we sit here and worry about it. And the fact of the matter is, if we walk according to his word, we got what we need when we need it.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And it was just a deeper, like calling always to a deeper relationship whenever we can trust that even in the tough times, God's still good.
Yes.
He's still the same God. In fact, you know, I think somebody told Corrie one time, you know, look at your beautiful house. God's good to you. And she said, God is always good. God was good when Betsy died at Ravensbrook death camp. He's always good. That's his character. And when we can really recognize that, it is life changing.
Wow. Dude, that goes right back to God gives you what you need for right now. When you preach through Psalm 23, man, that's such a word. Yeah. It's not a future. There is a future provision, knowing that he's there, but it's the right now. Yeah. It's in that moment. You say all those names. There's been a brand new biography released on Elizabeth Elliot through Crossway. And so I've gotten it. I actually got to meet Elizabeth Elliot. I was really young and I don't remember it. And I'm like, ugh. But my dad was a traveling evangelist and they were both speaking at the same conference. And so, man, the list that you gave, I would recommend all of those.
Yeah.
That's just incredible. And so you guys get back here to the States. and just the health crisis and everything, your father-in-law, all the above, what now begins to, because some things that are so difficult are seasons of transition. Mm-hmm. So you feel a calling out of something, but it's like Abraham, go. Well, where? Well, just go in that sense. What was that season of transition like, and how did you guys kind of get your bearings in that?
Yeah. Well, it was tough. My husband actually joined the military at an older age. I guess he was like 42 or
wow.
I don't know, maybe
okay.
a little younger than that.
What led him to do that?
A calling to ministry, ministry of, as a chaplain.
Chaplaincy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's huge.
So he wanted to serve in some other way, and he's joined as a reserve. Now he's full. He's active duty for like a year.
Wow.
But anyway, so he does that. And for myself, just at the church, I would find ways, because it was like, I think I might have mentioned, I would write in my prayer journal, what am I supposed to be doing? Because you're talking 2007 to 2015 was when we left there. And then 2023, when I came to Recycling Grace, it was years of like doing what I could. Women's ministry here, always, you know, going through Corey stuff, going through all these Bible studies, trying to drill into people, discipleship, you know, like it's more than salvation is where it all starts.
Yes.
But if that's where we stop, then we stay spiritual babies and we're not benefiting anybody.
Oh.
By not ourselves, not anybody else. And so to call people to really start to understand scripture.
Yes.
Let scripture speak for itself and live as though scriptures are authoritative in your life.
Yes.
And it was constant teaching. And that's just been all building then toward taking ministry classes and now being at Recycling Grace. And
wow. One of the things, Missy, that I hear in your story is there is a, I love Eugene Peterson's definition of discipleship. It is a long obedience in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And it is just a step at a time.
Right.
And so when you've got the 1 year Bible, you're just faithfully, I'm going to go to that today and I'm going to trust. And we're now back in the States and I'm at this church. And so I'm going to serve. It is the age old saying that I think has become cliche, unfortunately, but God is not interested in our abilities. I mean, that is where he comes in. He gives us our abilities. All he wants is that availability, just the yes. Are you willing to make room and just pursue? Because one thing leads to the next. And, you know, you talk about staying an infant. That is, I wish as a pastor and a shepherd for my people, that is the most frustrating season to stay in. When you're choosing to stay as an infant in Christ. Because I heard a guy say one time, there will be a time in your life where Sunday school answers don't bring you comfort in Friday night chaos. Yeah. Meaning that 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, and now all you have to go back to is a flannel graph or, you know, something like that, which we're thankful for those things. But I love your urgency on discipleship. What has been, or has there been a person that, what's been your biggest influence in discipleship? Has there been somebody or something that you've tried to mirror? Did someone just faithfully disciple you? I know your parents and you were just like, I'm going to turn around and do that for somebody else. What was that?
I've been influenced by several ministries, since the time that I've really started paying attention to stuff. I look at things like Answers in Genesis, Living Waters and things like that. That's just like hard hitting, makes you think.
It's yes.
And also with children, because I taught a youth Sunday school class and just different things like that. And apologetics is huge. So then I try to equip myself, because so often Christians don't know answers.
Yep.
You know? And so when you can't give an answer in a tough situation, so how many Christians have fallen away because why would God make me go through that?
Yep.
Why did God do this to me or whatever? Yep. Not knowing there are answers to that. Like Corey always used to say, I mean, God's hands are very big. His hands are big enough even for your questions.
Yes.
You know, he's not afraid of our questions. I tell the ladies all the time, God is not afraid of your questions.
Yes.
You know, there are answers, but it's on us if we don't study enough to learn them.
Oh, I love what Tim Keller said. He said, you can't be angry at someone that you don't really care about. Mm-hmm. And so it's evidence that if you're angry at God, then there's at least a thread of closeness or proximity in that sense. And I am hugely passionate, especially about college age students, or really what's happening at Westside in the season that we're in is young parents. And if it happens in college, they grow up a Christian, they kind of live in this bubble, they go to college, and then the professor starts talking about, you know, textual criticism. And, well, you know, we don't actually, you know this or that. And then nobody provides an answer.
Right.
Going, well, why isn't he saying that about Homer's Iliad? We have no idea when he wrote, or, you know, whatever. And now what I'm finding out in this season of Westside is parents are experiencing that when the kid, their children go, hey, mom, hey, dad, what about blank? Mm-hmm. And they go, you know, we need to schedule a meeting with you, you know? And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. God has not called me to be the final authority in your kid's life.
Right.
You are the greatest influence in that.
Right.
And so those resources, man, answers in Genesis, all the above, those things are huge.
They're huge.
Because I love, again, what you're going back to. There is, God is, as Francis Schaeffer used to say, God is not silent.
Right.
God is not silent on these things. Even if it's popular in high academia, well, that's an argument from silence. Well, the reality is we're turning down the volume on God's voice in that. And so you mentioned a date, 2023, is when you get introduced to Recycling Grace. Walk us through that. What was that like? What was the season that you were in? All the above.
Yeah. So it was actually 2022 when I first started talking to Sandy about it. But she just approached me at a ministry class and said, I don't know why. I mean, she just saw me across the room, made a beeline over and said, hey, I need a director. And I'm telling you, it wasn't on my head in my head at all at the time. I was just thinking, okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll pray about it. And anyway, so then I just, God started putting into my head, and then my dad got sick and I was kind of slowed down by some of that stuff, you know, but just kept working toward it. I started teaching a couple classes for them and realized that, okay, because for one thing, teaching, you know, doing groups over there, I can get behind that because those girls are so passionate. Those ladies are just really
so
enthusiastic.
Hungry. Oh.
And sometimes I sit through, you know, regular church Bible studies and it's dry as a bone or whatever, you know. And there, you don't see a real enthusiasm for learning.
Oh,
but that over there, that you got some tools to work with.
Yes.
Because I mean, God's already working. They're already hungering for more of God, you know.
Yeah.
And so you can really... They want to know answers. I mean, you would not. They come in because they've been addicted to drugs and their lives have fallen apart, and they want to know things like, did God really do what he said he did in Genesis? I mean, they want, but why? Because they want to know that they can trust what God's word says.
Yes.
Because it's going to be either authoritative or it's not.
Yes. I'm either going to build my life on this or I've tried everything else.
That's
and
right.
Everything else has
That's
failed.
Right.
And so we work real close with the John 3:16 ministries and those graduates. And I love that those guys come to church and hang out, Crossroads, Jimmy Wagner and those guys.
Yeah.
When they come and they worship, they are getting after it. I mean, they're like, I need this. Mm-hmm. I need this for the week, for right now, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Sandy approaches you, which I said Sunday is totally Sandy. This woman is incredible. I hope she writes her own biography someday of just the life that she lived and then radically saved and a deep hunger and passion for the word. But I would almost say that Sandy's spiritual gift, you know, whatever, how they're mentioned is I feel like Sandy has the gift of faith. In the sense of, I'm going to do it. Like, God has spoken, I'm going to do it. I need a director.
Yeah.
Bing, here we go. You know, and so what did that process look like for you?
Well, you know, as I think I mentioned Sunday, I was working full-time as a registered nurse. And wasn't particularly thinking about leaving that because I was working from home.
Sure.
I mean, you know. And so you don't exactly walk away from that. But then I thought about, you know, so I'm going to stand before God one of these days and he's going to say, so you wanted to work from home with you, yourself, and I, you know, you and yourself, nobody else. And instead of reaching out to a world, you know, you knew the answers.
Well,
and yet you stayed home. And I don't want to stand before God and get that.
Yeah.
So I think to step out of my comfort zone now is a lot better than standing in that area later.
Yeah.
And so that's, I just decided it's okay. I'm kind of a homebody. I'm, you know, and so I've always been, and now there's no place that I'm where I'm ever away from really from Recycling Grace. And that's okay because these ladies, they have become my family.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you dropped a bomb on a Sunday when you said, Jesus loved me too much to keep me comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we, in a way, distort the gospel, and we're not. Hey guys, we wanted to take a break from the podcast, and I wanted to fill you in on this incredible resource. Listen, I know I've got a lot of pastor friends, a lot of church volunteers, maybe you're on staff at a church, and there's a ton of things that when I started working at a church that I didn't know anything about. And when I became pastor at Westside, there was a lot that I didn't know about. And one of those things was church insurance. I'm in a board meeting, someone says, what's our insurance policy? And I'm like, I have no idea. Listen, I don't care how much you paid for your seminary education, they don't teach you about church insurance. But listen, Westside has found a great resource at First Choice Insurance through our agent, Matt Phillips. First Choice Insurance is locally operated. It is family owned. They have a ton of insurance policies from A to Z. They've insured everything from airplanes, zoos. Like, legitimately, Matt told me that they've insured a lion before. So listen, if you work at a church, if you're a pastor, and you're like, seminary did not teach me about church insurance, I want you to reach out to Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance. The number is 573-686-2870. Again, that's Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance, 573-686-2870. 2870, or you can check them out on Facebook. Again, family owned, locally operated, Matt Phillips, First Choice Insurance. It's time to give another shout out to another sponsor of the Rest of the Sermon podcast. This shout out goes to our great friends over at Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Smart Marketing is a fantastic media company. And when I say media, I mean websites, graphic design, videography, anything that you need, Smart Marketing can do it. You need to head on over to Facebook, just type in Smart Marketing, and you'll see their cool light bulb logo pop up, and you can get a ton of information there. Or you can just give them a call, Smart Marketing at 573-840-0334. Again, that's Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, 573-840-0334. Back to the show. Consciously aware of what we're doing, when we see miracles, when we see salvation, like you said, eternal life starts now. It begins now. But that crisis and moment of salvation is the beginning. That's not the end all be all. But what we do is we go, okay, Jesus, I'm dealing with these circumstances, addiction, whatever. I read that you heal people, that you do stuff. I'm going to come to you. And really what I think we think in the American West is, I'm going to come for you. I'm going to come to you, and you are the, you know, you're going to comfort me. You're going to take that thing away, and my life is going to be like the cleavers or something, you know, from that moment forward. And the reality is that is not discipleship, and that is not the call to salvation at all. I'll never forget baptizing a guy. He had just, man, lived a hard life and came to know Christ at one of our services, came to our baptism class, baptized him on a Sunday. It was incredible. And I see him the next Sunday. He comes in a little early, gets some coffee. I said, hey, man, how's it going? And he said, not good. I feel like all hell has broken loose in my life, and I'm really confused. I'm just really confused. And so I took him into the scriptures where it says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness after the baptism. And I said, the baptism is the confirmation. It's the switching of the jerseys. But now you've switched teams. And so the battle begins now. And so I think it is so important for people to hear. When you said that, that just sort of dropped in our mailbox of, ooh, that's what the call to discipleship is for sure. So walk us through, what does recycling grace look like? What is kind of the primary purpose? I know you said it is primarily for women who are coming in, living a life of addiction. What does that look like for them?
Okay, so... they come to us from a lot of different places. Yeah. Sometimes they just are in their lives and they're in a mess and they know it, and they call us and say, hey, I need help.
Wow.
Sometimes it's because they're in jail.
Yep.
And sometimes they're out of jail, but they're parole officer or whatever. what drug court, bunch of different. So we get them from everywhere and for a lot of different reasons.
But sure.
The thing that we try to do on admission or before admission, we have an interview process and everything. So they fill out an application, they give it to us, we call them, we set up an interview.
Okay.
And I have a couple of people that do interviews and we try to really exercise some discernment.
Sure.
You know, because they have to want to change.
That's what Josie said Sunday about if you have a family member or somebody who's struggling, what do you say to them? Mm-hmm. And her candor was so great in the sense of, I mean, if they don't want it, they don't want it. Yeah, that's huge.
Because it's life changing. It's everything.
Nope.
Everything we do at Recycling Grace is Christ-centered. You're not going to have a problem in the world that we're not going to bring it back to some spiritual level.
Amen.
So, we kind of try to make sure that they really have a heart for change. Like I'm at the end of myself and I know that I need something else. And
yes.
So we take them, they don't have to have a relationship with Christ at all.
Sure. Not,
you know?
Sure.
And so we bring them in and, they move into one of our houses. We have one house that's specifically for everybody that's within the first 2 months of
okay, religion. Great.
And that's just like, it's like foundational. In fact, that's, we have three phases and that's the name of that first phase is foundational because we are starting to build something under them.
Yeah.
And so we have groups a lot during the day. We have specific boundaries groups during the week, which is boundaries are everything.
Everything.
Yeah. But not just for them, for us too. We just don't realize it.
Yes.
Yeah. As I've studied Henry Cloud, he's a Christian psychologist, you know, he does a lot with boundaries. I've realized how many Christians are really paralyzed in their faith because we don't have boundaries, you know?
Huge.
And so it's been something for me too. I've grown studying it. But anyway, boundaries will either keep them safe after they leave us or if they don't have them, it's going to be bad for them. So it's boundaries. We do all kinds of studies, but a lot of them are scriptural and we just basically encouraging them, talking to them, having them ask questions. And it's tough questions a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, but then they're with us all the time. They don't go anywhere without us. Well, they don't go anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Unless the staff takes them or whatever. I mean, it's constant and it's just us supervising everything. And it's really more than supervision. It's just them accountable. It's them being accountable.
Because they need it and we need it.
That's right.
I mean, when I first became a Christian, I needed that for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's right. So as they move on through the program, then they're able to apply for jobs and work jobs. The program actually charges nothing for the women that go there. So then they're able to put all that money away to get ready for housing, to get ready for a car when they leave. Because we're determined not to put them out, you know, after 6 months and they have no place to go. They don't have money for, you know, you have to have deposits and all of these things. And so we try to think ahead and think about actually getting them on a new path.
Yes.
We teach them not to isolate afterwards. We teach if they can at all, they're to stay connected with us in groups or another godly church.
Sure.
So that somebody else holds them accountable.
Absolutely. Well, seeing the bond that those three girls had on Sunday, that's probably, I mean, I know for some people it's probably a personality trait or whatever that might be difficult, but it did not seem difficult for those three girls because.
But at first it can be like, whenever they first come in, I've been guilty of thinking,
right.
And then, you know, you kind of get them around everybody and it's amazing the growth. And like last night we had prayer meeting, basically a study on prayer, which turned into, prayer meeting for a lot of the different ladies who had stuff, tough stuff coming up. You're talking about reviews for child custody. And, you know, I mean, it's tough stuff. And it was a sisterhood that gathered around them and prayed. I mean, it was incredible. And just a feeling of unity. And I think that maybe that's part of how the early church felt was because they didn't have anything.
Yes.
Everything they had, they shared.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of how we do it, Recycling Grace. Oh. And then, you know, your burdens, you're not hitting us. We get really stoic, don't we, as like mature Christians, and we don't let ourselves be seen. But they just pour it all out. If they're feeling it, you know it. And so, therefore, we know how to pray for everybody. There's no secrets over there. We just, we grow together.
Man, I hear so many parallels as like a pastor where you just almost salivate at the mouth. You're like, that's the vision. And they're, what I hear you saying is these girls realize and these women realize they get out what they put in.
Right.
If you want to receive deep relationships and transparency, it starts with you being transparent and doing all of that. And that is a word. I love what you said. We become so stoic. And I think one thing that mature, I don't even know what that means, but mature Christians, older Christians tend to isolate themselves away from younger Christians because there's a lack of discipleship. And I believe the way that God has designed it, of course, Paul pours into Timothy. Of course that takes place. But there is something, I'm preaching through 1 Timothy now. I think there is something in Timothy that pours into Paul, and it is that youthfulness. Mm-hmm. It is that hard questions. It is the brashness. It is the, it's just refreshing. You know, it really is refreshing. And I loved in y'all's vision, you said that it's to not just break those chains, but for them to become productive members of society in order to give back and do that. And I think it was Kristen who is now employed by Recycling Grace.
It was Hannah.
Hannah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you speak about Hannah just a little bit with her story and now what she's doing?
Yeah. So I was actually, I think I came in to start teaching just after Hannah got there. And I remember Hannah as being, she didn't have any self-confidence.
Yeah.
She was scared to death all the time. Wow. You know, you could see it in her eyes. And, well, you know, she told her story. She'd been on the street. She'd been hallucinating in front of churches. And, you know, she had nothing. She was homeless. And so she's grown from that in November.
Wow.
Until now, today, we've just hired her on. I mean, she, you know, she's been a house mom for us since she graduated because you could just see. But the thing about Hannah is she was hungry.
Yes.
Like, she would ask so many questions. And I could see that the hunger and desire was there. And she just started. She just decided that she was going to take what she was learning and make it her life.
There you go.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, I can truly trust her. You know, with she's giving, she's running that whole, the house she's living in, she's running it. She's doing devotions every morning and able to sign off on everything. She keeps everybody in line. It's incredible. I have, the sky is the limit with Hannah.
Man. And that is the potential. That is God. Jesus saw, you know, when he saw blind Bartimaeus, or when he saw the woman at the well, he doesn't see the brokenness. He doesn't see that. He sees the Imago Dei created in the image of God, mm-hmm. and who they're supposed to be and who God intended them to be. And to think that that was always her.
That's right.
That's always, it was just some stuff was in the way we needed some time to get mm-hmm. that stuff out. So the foundational house, they come in 2 months, which is just like, man, the sobriety or whatever, this just becoming safe mm-hmm. for like 2 months. And so then do they transition to another house after that?
Yeah, as they go into working era,
okay.
they go into the Linda house, which is more like we call it developmental.
Yeah.
And then the third phase is transformational. And these are the ladies that are just really kind of ready to spread their wings. They're becoming much more independent, but they're also showing spiritual independence as well.
Yeah.
Integrity. In fact, that's basically our values statement with Recycling Grace, is that we honor God with integrity and hard work, you know, and that's what these ladies are now showing us. That's how we know, okay, they're ready to,
that's good,
to move forward and everything. So that's where it is.
That's beautiful.
And that's a beautiful process to watch. Yeah. And I'm just figuring, or just seeing it really come to fruition as the ladies that I started with are now coming to the end of the program. I mean, we've got one, I'll say her name because I don't think she'll mind. Emma.
Yeah.
Emma is beautiful. She's a young, her mom actually went through our program and has transformed.
Wow.
And so Emma came into the program. She's just fixing to graduate. She's working, making good money. She's already got her house lined up, but her thinking is what blesses me, because stuff happens. And, you know, like the storms beating against the house is going to happen. So that's the one thing we try to listen, just because you're a Christian and you're trying to grow. In fact, that's you're just going to understand that Satan's going to come against you, because guess what? He lost part of his kingdom and he doesn't take that kindly.
Yes.
And he's going to fight because he had a hold on you and he wants it back.
Yeah.
So they're going to face fights and everything. But she now has really the scripture that talks about, you know, capturing every thought and making it obedient to Christ. She's got it.
Yes.
So when she talks now, she just spews scripture back out at you.
Yes.
And that's how I know this. She has a godly worldview. And do we know how big of a deal that is?
Oh.
Because I know a lot of Christians in churches that don't have a godly worldview.
100%. Or they run to a pastor or Google to go, what does this say? What does, and then goodness gracious, I tell our people, please don't Google anything. You're going to get all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But to go, what I have a foundation to know that doesn't smell right.
Right.
That is, there's something there. And I tell our people all the time, just because it's in a Christian bookstore,
right,
I'm not so sure Jesus would sign off on it, because I think one of the great false gospels that's creeping into the church, and we have a strong women's ministry, and they talk about it often, is this self-help guru mindset that is just kind of sprinkled with a little bit of Bible hope.
Right.
And, you know, you can do it. You're able. You have it within you because God's love blank. But really facing something like, you know, you said, man, when I walk into work, they'll come up to me and go, okay, I'm learning about forgiveness, but he raped me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no gray area
right.
in that. These are real issues mm-hmm. that God has not been silent on.
That's
but
right.
to choose to think that way mm-hmm. is where the power is, for sure.
How many Christians in our churches walk around with grudges for a long time? And it obviously it stunts their growth. You know? But these women, they know they need to forgive. It's like the parable of the servant who was forgiven a lot, you know. He wasn't, I mean, all of us have to be forgiven much and we have to then turn around. And so they know they have to forgive. It's just like, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Because it's tough.
Yeah.
And so now that's what we teach. I mean, how do you forgive? You forgive as God forgives us. We show that same kind of forgiveness. And how do we do that? Well, we go to Romans 5:5 and say that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So even though they don't have the power to forgive, there's no way she has the power to forgive this guy. But through Christ, she can do it because his love is what then flows through her through the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness, love is the same way. You know what? I don't have the love to do this, but God does, and I let him fill me with that love, his love, so that I can pour it out to others. That's what they're learning, and it's powerful because that's life-changing.
And then to hear you say that her mom went through the program, and now she is. I mean, guys, we're talking generational, and our God is a God of generations.
Yeah.
I mean, your children's children, the son of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a generational lineage. And that was always a foreshadowing of what discipleship is and the family of God in that sense. Missy, what is one thing that I know testimony services, getting the word out about Recycling Grace and this, that, and the other, but I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this. There's other pastors of other churches listening to this. What are you guys looking for in partners? How can people help you? Because one of the things I said on Sunday is God has called the local church to spread the gospel, right? So we meet general needs in that sense. Do good, especially to those of the household of faith, as Peter says. And discipleship is God's plan, and that happens in the local church. But God calls people like Sandy to meet specific needs and equips her and just that apostolic gifting that she has, all of those things. How can people come alongside Recycling Grace who is meeting specific needs in this?
Okay. And I will make a little plug too here for our outpatient program.
Yes.
Because if you or other churches have people who are struggling with addiction, but they are not in a situation where they need residential help, then we actually have an outpatient program where they can come plug into our groups. I guarantee they will be challenged and encouraged by those.
Oh,
so,
that's huge.
Yeah. So we, and that's of course no charge or anything. So, you know, they're always able to contact, go on the website, fill out an application and just mark outpatient and we take care of all of that. As far as like, you know, I think, I've been with Recycling Grace for a while. I think I can guarantee that we will bless, the ministry will be a blessing to whoever comes on board.
Yes.
You know, volunteers, like myself, I've been challenged and grown in ways, you know, and I thought I was a disciple before, you know.
Yep.
Like, it's amazing how God just says, oh, you think that's big? I'm just going to give you a little more.
That's right,
you know?
That's right.
And he just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is.
And so I think we have the potential to help churches who will come on board with us. And you know, because it's like you saw with the ladies, there's a testimony that people need to hear, but we're willing to take a presentation. You know, if people want that in their local churches, if they want, you know, it does. We're kind of wide open for possibilities,
sure,
and willing to work with churches that want to get on board. It is a huge ministry, but it's one of those. It's specialized, so maybe you know, all churches can't have that.
Sure,
but then again, that's why we're the body of Christ. We can work together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's cyclical because the women going into that program also, and I know what you guys teach, they also need to be plugged into a local church.
Yeah.
And so it's the beauty of the partnership of the specialized and the generalized and all of those things like that, which is incredible. Alex, you got anything for Missy? What's stuck out in her story and the wealth of wisdom here, man?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I will just say as I'm inspired when you spoke on it on Sunday, which it's your viewpoint, I think, to the newness of Christ. And I think it's a diamond in some people's eyes, and some of it's a speck and dirt for others. And I think for you, you see it as a diamond of, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I think of the movie, I'm a big movie person, so I think of Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
And Desmond Doss, what one thing that he says on the battlefield at Hacksaw was, he saves one, mm-hmm. and he gets to the edge, lets him down, and says, just one more.
One more, yeah.
Yep. And he goes again, and goes again, and goes again. And that, to me, that's you, Missy. And yeah. I just want to speak that over you of, like, that's a gift, that's an incredible thing to be able to use. You're doing amazing things in people's lives, and to see that newness, it fires me up to see, like, I think the church misses that
yes.
in a lot of ways. We look for the pastor to always see that. And it's like, no, he's empowered the people to go therefore and that's make right. disciples of all nations. And I mean, literally you've done that, and now you're doing it on the home base. And I think it's just incredible to see.
Thank you.
that newness is for you. It's a diamond in the eye that I think many of us, the shine that comes off of that, we're going to be able to see that. It's Thank amazing. You. So
that's good. One of the things too, Missy, that I think is important to someone listening to this, I think it's just human nature. We judge our lowest points and our weaknesses by everybody's Instagram highlight reel or whatever's being portrayed. So everything that you're hearing on this podcast is the highlights of the snapshots of that. But there's really no substitute for time.
Yeah.
The relationships, like you said, I would have never have guessed by seeing the camaraderie and the sisterhood of those three women on Sunday, and you saying, I mean, when they first got here, we were just kind of like, we'll see, you know, like, but I mean, I just wish we as Christians and disciples believed the best about one another, filled whatever gaps there are with trust. Just like you said, I'm trusting that God's working in you. He's working in me. He's got to be working in you. But then the third thing is, I always tell our people, community is not a microwave. It's a crock pot.
Absolutely.
It's just got to take time yeah. in that sense. And the time is intentional.
Yeah.
There's rhythms and sort of things like that. What is one thing that from a discipleship standpoint, is there like 4 to 5 things that you teach a woman, okay, prayer, journaling, Bible reading, when you leave this house or whatever, even your day-to-day in this house, these are some non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. There's going to be days where you feel like you're just going through the routine. Grind it out. Go through the routine because God's going to meet you there. What are some of those discipleship essentials that you really instill in the women?
Okay, and some of them aren't just like actions. They're matters of the heart too.
Yeah.
So we demand grace for each other, which Oof. As you can, I mean, Ruth House houses 14 women.
Wow.
So,
and how many houses do you guys have?
We have 3.
My goodness
yeah,
gracious.
Yeah, but now that's the largest house. And then we have one that houses 7 and one that houses 8. So we've grown, thankfully, slowly.
Oh, you know? Yes.
But anyway, so anytime you get a house with that many women, you're going to have conflict.
Just day-to-day conflict.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you add to that the trauma yep. that's been experienced by these women. And it can be a mess sometimes.
Yeah, just
like
waiting for the bathroom can turn into a very triggering situation.
Right,
absolutely,
right,
man.
So we teach showing grace, you know, and we demand it. They're accountable for that.
I love
so
that.
It's grace for each other as God has shown us grace.
Yes.
You know, and all of it comes back to what has God shown you? That's what you need to show others.
Mm.
The forgiveness that he gives you, you're going to have to pass it along.
Yeah.
Be a conduit now for the things of God. Romans 5:5. We'd hit it all the time.
Romans 5:5.
So there's certain scriptures that we just hit constantly. You tell me what Bible says about that.
That's right.
And then as they start to get that back out of their mouths, I mean, that's, so it's grace, it's accountability.
Yeah.
Scripture reading is huge.
Yep.
We give them study Bibles. They can earn like study helps like
yep.
that as they put some effort into it,
yes,
memorizing yep. certain things or whatever. Prayer, journaling. That journaling is huge.
Huge.
Huge. Yeah.
yeah.
Also, we've done a whole study recently on prayer and it's amazing. Christians, we don't understand the value of prayer. But I think as we understand that the Holy Spirit, that's how he works in our lives. As we commune with him, we are,
yes.
are that it makes it a lot easier at least to recognize God's voice if you're used to hearing it.
Yes.
And so those things are the things that we really drill in all the time. There are certain scriptures that we literally, I probably say every single group.
Yep.
To the point where now they can just finish it for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
But honestly, to see the change, I just can't get over it. I'm telling you, as I go through the groups with them and I start to hear back out of their mouths, you know, it's the truth of God's word.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus said, he was praying for all of us. Really, he said, sanctify them with the truth. Your word is
truth. Your word is truth.
Man. And then therefore, then the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, right? But he can't guide us in what we don't know.
Yep.
So we learn the truth of scripture, and then we trust that the Holy Spirit's going to guide him, and he has never failed yet.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, that's the one thing that God has said will never return void.
That's right.
And it's his word. It's one thing. Yes, there's principles and there's day-to-day things, but there is one thing that will never return void.
That's right.
And so that is
we kind of spew that scripture out a lot,
yes.
But we really stand on it.
Right.
It is bedrock truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the West Side was a small church that was dwindling down, and I got here and there were some faithful people here. And for the first year and a half, every Sunday morning, we just walked through the Gospel of Mark verse by verse. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I said, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew if I build it on this, if everything is this, if every ministry is, hey, we're doing, you know, a mercy ministry because, you know, this or that, it always points back to God's word. And so anytime I ever have anybody ask me, like, what do you feel like has been the strength of your ministry? It is so freeing to go, well, it's just built on God's word. It's this. That's what's so equipping in that. Missy, this is incredible. And I feel like what the Lord is doing in getting the message out of Recycling Grace is incredible. And so you guys have a Facebook page?
We do.
You have a website, mm-hmm. All of those things. And if you're listening to this, you weren't able to be there Sunday. We actually did just take up an offering and sowed into Recycling Grace. And Westside is a very generous congregation. And I was just so proud of them as their pastor. But if you're listening to this and you weren't able to be a part of that, you can shoot us an email or contact the office. You can absolutely still give to that. And it was new to me, the outpatient program and all of that. That is a huge resource. And I think there are many people who are listening to this who need something. And that is a great first step.
Well, the outpatient program is not just for women either. We have a male side of that too. So.
Love it. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's big.
Oh, man, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Missy, how can we be praying for you and your family? Not just Recycling Grace. We know the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, resources, all of those things. We pledge to pray for that. But how can we be praying for you and your family?
Well, I appreciate that very much because I need it. So for myself, it's focus.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of meetings and a lot of, as I said, I mean, when I'm at the house, any of the houses, it's a lot.
Sure.
And so I feel like almost like I have to get away from the house to actually get any work done.
Yeah. You know?
At the same time, when I'm away from the house, I'm not communing with them one-on-one. So it's kind of one of those things.
Catch 22.
Yeah. But focus and complete reliance on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because myself, I have no capabilities.
Yep.
So I mean, I really recognize that, especially on days like today or whatever.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Anytime I have to do anything, I have nothing. But the Holy Spirit works through our weaknesses.
Amen.
He promised he would do it, so yes. I know that he will.
Yes.
And so just a constant reliance on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm reminded of what Paul said, this one thing I do, when you talk about focus. Mm-hmm. This one thing I do. So it's the one thing for right now, and whatever's next is the other one thing in that sense.
And running in such a way as to win the prize.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I see too many Christians. I mean, I guess my biggest advice to Christians is to get around baby Christians.
Come on.
And let them challenge you because that's going to drive you deeper. Well, it should anyway, because you want answers.
Yes.
And there are answers there for parents who are worried about children that are, you know, they don't want them to grow up and leave the church. Disciple yourself so you can disciple your kids.
Yes.
And it's not for the church. We can't do it in an hour or 2 weeks.
No, my goodness.
It's got to come through the parents learning. And I have a big, huge heart for kids that are, you know, because they turn into the people that we deal with.
Yep.
You know, and some of our ladies were raised in church.
Yes.
And they fell away because they didn't feel like they had a foundation under their life. They had no answers.
Yep.
Tough questions came along and it blew them over.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. So if you want your kids to stay focused on God and stay in God, and as they go move forward and just be confident Christians, there are answers out there. Learn them.
Yes, there are. Man. Missy, thank you so much for your labor for the kingdom.
Thank you.
I mean, it is so specific, but at the same time, there's no way anybody could day in, day out do what you're doing if God's call wasn't on your life. And so, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of the chapter, he says, he who called you is faithful.
Absolutely.
And he will surely do it.
You know? If I can just put in one plug for y'all, Jens have a great church.
Oh, thank you.
Truly, it was a blessing for us to be here. And I'm talking myself and the ladies that I was here with. It has blessed us in just ways we can't describe.
Yeah.
But just from the moment we walked in to the time we walked out, it was incredible. So I thank you for that.
We are lucky in order to get to pastor these people. Mm-hmm. And I go to a lot of conferences and I hear a lot of pastors complain, and I usually leave those meetings just because I'm not there. I'm just not there with it. And you guys have an open invitation. We have worship nights. Any events that you guys see that we're doing, contact Alex or myself. Hey, some girls want to come to the worship night. You guys have an open invitation here at this church.
I appreciate
we have
that.
A worship night coming up.
July 30th?
July 30th.
Okay. 5:30? So it's a Sunday night?
5:30 Sunday night. And Adam, our worship leader, plans that. And it is time of worship, prayer. There are specific calls to prayer. It's just time to get after it. And so if you guys want to be a part of that, you're more than welcome for everything. So Missy, thank you so much for the time out of your busy day to come in on the rest of the sermon. If you guys have any questions and you want further information on Recycling Grace, you can shoot us an email at info@westsidepb.org. You can give our church a call at 785-1805. Our newsletter has gone out telling you about all the things that we have coming up. You just heard about a worship night, all of those good things. We will be back into the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 this Sunday, looking at the leadership in the local church. What are the qualifications? What does this mean? And how does that impact your everyday Christian who's attending church? So we love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until we meet again, it's all about Jesus. Blessings.